770-563-3. 838 was proud to read, I should say, really interested in an article that I read the other day from Justin Raimondo. And because something that we talk about quite often here on the program is that conservatives, libertarians, more freedom-oriented people are big on wanting limited government. We want limited government, a minimum size of whoever's going to be basically parasitically attached to us financially and messing with us in general. And he wrote a piece that I found interesting. It was called "We'll Never Limit Government Intervention or Limit Government Unless We Ditch Foreign Intervention." Justin Raimondo joins us. He's the editor of antiwar.com. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, so you basically take apart a pretty common, I don't know if I want to call it a problem, but there's certainly a characteristic with conservatives, Republican Party, even many libertarians, because you just consider yourself a staunch libertarian, and that right. If you want small government, what is it about military intervention or foreign intervention that ends up growing the state? You want to take us down this rabbit hole?
Sure. You know, if you look at history, what you see is that the growth of government makes a great leap forward in wartime. World War One, World War Two, and now, of course, the war on terrorism, which is eternal. So, I mean, it's not just, you know, if you put it on a graph, it's not a line going gradually up. It's going gradually up, and then all of a sudden it goes way up, and then it retrenches a little bit, but it doesn't go back to its former state.
So it's one of those Chinese finger puzzles, so to speak. You stick your finger in a little bit, and you might be able to pull a little bit to try to get it out, but you can never get your fingers back to where they originally were or even bust them free of it, right? One of those, oh, wait a minute. Let me try this again. You still there, Justin?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, for some reason, something went weird there. So anyway, you can never really bust free of government. It's like those Chinese finger puzzles. You stick your finger in it, and war means you stick your finger into it even more, and you just can't get it out. Is that a fair analogy?
Because, you know, and the reason is that there are so many people who benefit from all of the regulations, all of the new taxes, all of the new sources of government revenue and government power that come with wartime.
Okay.
For example, if we try to repeal the war on terrorism, I mean, how many lobbyists in Washington are going to go crazy? All of the cybersecurity people, Boeing, Lockheed, all of the lobbyists. So, you know, what I call this ratchet effect is the iron rule there. War is the health of the state, as Randolph Bourne put it, and it certainly is.
Why is it so easy to push the people towards a foreign intervention warlike stance? What do you think? What makes it so easy?
Fear. I mean, that is, see, it's, okay, you know, like this pattern, I mean, it's not just about war, it's about crisis. So if you look at the Great Depression, for example, people were afraid that they would lose their jobs, that they would go hungry, but they're, you know, that they could even die.
And hence we had the creation, really, of the, or at least the empowering of the progressive administrative state to take care of the peeps. Of course, it was extra-constitutional in all of this, right?
Right. And there, you know, of course, there's another factor involved in all this, and that is ideology. For example, there have been plenty of crises all throughout history. There's, you know, like, for example, you know, the Black Death in Europe killed half of the population, okay? But it didn't have the effect that it did because of ideology. Now, you know, in America, you know, at the end of the 19th century, you saw the rise of the so-called progressive movement. That is a movement that was very complicated, but you could boil it down into the idea that government should be used much more than it had been. That you could use government to improve society, and in fact, that this was the key factor in progress.
You could call this the revolution within the form, I guess. Almost the second.
As Garrett, mm-hmm. you know, the great conservative polemicist put it, yes. And so you had this change in the American intellectual, you know, consensus. You know, previously it had been most Americans looked at government as, you know, a local thing, and they wanted it to do certain things, but certainly not everything, and certainly not the primary thing. And but then there was a sea change, and it occurred around, you know, the start of World War One. And so these two factors, fear and ideology, really provoked a certain kind of response to a crisis. And so we've seen this pattern repeated throughout the modern era. World War One, there was fear, and, you know, of course you had, you know, not only, you know, like innovations like the War Finance Corporation, for example, which took government assets and lended them out to wartime producers, thus giving birth to crony capitalism. Yeah. And of course, you know, the corporation didn't go away after the war was over, after the crisis was over. No, it stayed. And they used it to lend money to farmers and, you know, for various, you know, crony capitalist enterprises. So, you know, you have the ratchet effect. There's the crisis, you know, the scope and power of government goes up, taxes go up, and then it retrenches, but only to a certain degree. Certain things remain. And, you know, another example is rent control. Rent control, say, in New York City, was instituted during World War II.
I had no idea. So, in other words, that was a war-based situation once again. Just another example of the local economy being affected
right.
by government mandate. Okay.
Right.
And so the state continues to grow, and nobody's certainly seeing rent control go away once the war went away, right? Just didn't
right.
happen.
No, because people were benefiting from it.
All
so
right.
the people who benefit, tend to form a lobby, and they tend to be louder and more insistent in their lobbying than any opponents. And then you have the ideological factor, of course, which in the modern era was in play. That is, that government can solve most, if not all, of our problems.
Okay, well, Stan, then let's go to the Reagan era then, in which President Reagan at that time, I recall him saying several times, government is not the solution, government is the problem. Did the government continue to grow in spite of that?
Well, yes, of course. Its rate of increase slowed, but... what he did was that he simply, you know, continued the same pattern. And then, of course, there was the crisis of the Cold War, which had been going on since the 1950s. And his response to that, of course, was to more than double the defense budget, so-called defense budget, actually the military budget.
Now, Justin, by the way, Justin Raimondo on the program here. He's the editorial director of antiwar.com. So, Justin, some will say, and many continue to say today, I think Sean Hannity said it just a couple of weeks ago, that it was because of us increasing the Cold War expenditures that we basically drove Russia into the poorhouse and had led to their collapse. What would you say to who's that? That it actually accomplished some good?
Well... I mean, Hannity is somewhat an unworthy adversary.
Sorry. Okay.
Let me just point out that socialism doesn't work. I mean, this is something Hannity ought to know. And, of course, that is why, you know, the Soviet Union imploded, because socialism is basically an unworkable system which couldn't even feed its own people, let alone conquer the world. So, and of course, you know, the great libertarian economist Ludwig von Mises predicted the end of socialism in 1928 in his classic essay, The Problem of a Socialist Calculation.
So, in effect, maybe we should be looking for the end of the Western welfare state, because Mises says it's unsustainable. Fair enough?
Yes, and of course, Ron Paul's been predicting that, and I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow there's a great crash again. And, of course, you know, the answer to that will be, oh, well, you know, we need more government regulation.
Sure. All right. So, Justin, I guess the point then, how do you, through your columns then, try to break through, I almost want to call it a cognitive dissonance. So you can't be for big military, big war, and then say that you're for small government on everything else. Why do you think they have a problem making the distinction in most people's minds?
Well, I mean, I think that ordinary people don't have this problem. I think it's the politicians and the ideologues on left and right who, you know, basically, you know, are perpetuating this cognitive dissonance. Though, actually, we are making progress. Rand Paul is now, you know, making the point that, well, you know, you can't have this, you know, if government, you know, like, can do all these things, you know, at home, then it makes sense, you know, to say, well, you know, government can do the same thing abroad. So he is challenging conservatives to say, well, wait a minute, doesn't that undermine your argument for, you know, small government?
Well, Senator McCain wouldn't say back, he's a whack-a-bird or whack-a-doodle or whatever he
right,
is.
Right, but, I mean, you know, Senator McCain is, you know, increasingly irrelevant. I mean, that's really the past of the Republican Party. I think Rand Paul is more of the future.
I think so.
So I do have my criticisms of Rand Paul, as you probably know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure. Justin Raimondo, once again, editorial director of antiwar.com. So where do you see the future of foreign policy? Because as it is right now, most Republicans are certainly willing to throw President Obama's foreign policy under the bus, saying that it's not muscular enough or it's not doing enough. And yet I recall them having problems with what George Bush was doing, thinking that he was doing too much and they were getting tired of the war. So where do you think we're headed to at this point?
Well, there's a great divide in this country between the political class in Washington, D.C. and in New York City and the people, ordinary, normal people like you and I. An example, look at the Syrian thing. Okay. You know, remember when...
We basically shouted down President Obama, didn't we?
Right. And, you know, the people rose up and it wasn't even very organized. I mean, you know, we at antiwar.com tried to organize it, but it was largely spontaneous. People got on the phone and said, guess what? We're not going to war again in that area. And in fact, we're not going to war because we're sick of it. And so people spontaneously rose up and said no. And that really surprised the political class because people on both sides of the aisle were for this. Oh, we have to help the Syrians and blah, 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 blah.
Okay, well, are you saying, though, that we have no problems to be concerned about? Can you hear about ISIS and Iran getting a nuclear bomb and all the rest of it? And this is being you know, put out there as the reason why we have to kind of go in there. What would you say to that?
I would say that we don't really have any problems. I mean, look, you know, the Soviet Union is gone.
Putin's still there.
No adversary there that, you know, can really challenge. I mean, we're at the top of the world. And, of course, being at the top of the world is a precarious kind of thing because, you know, it makes you a target. But I think that once we start to dismantle this empire that we have around our necks, I mean, we have bases in 138 countries. Why? We still have troops in Europe, in Germany, in Japan. How long has World War II been over? I mean, and this is another example of the ratchet effect. Once a government program is in progress, it's almost impossible to abolish it.
So I guess I'm going to tie this into what you wrote about we'll never limit government unless we ditch foreign intervention. You have to understand that the military is just another government program.
Exactly. And of course it is. You have to understand also that there is the so-called private sector. There's a huge, I mean, it's not just government employees. It is Lockheed. It is Boeing. It is all of these companies that make their money primarily from the government. So you have a huge class of people, which is, you know, the parasite class, basically, mm-hmm. that's living off the rest of us.
All right.
And it's, you know, we have to cut it down.
All right. Now, Paul from Talent, you have a question. I'd like to get it on here. I don't have much time, Paul. Can you make this a pithy challenge here? Go right ahead.
Yes. Necessity is the mother of invention. And I would just ask your guest whether or not he doesn't know that technology is almost entirely based on necessity, i.e. warfare, mm-hmm. disease, etc. So almost the entirety of advancement in technology from the computer, the internet, space satellites.
Tang. Don't forget Tang.
Everything, even down to ballistics, back down to Archimedes and whatnot, is all about warfare. It's all about fighting disease.
Okay, let him answer that one in the final minute here, Paul. Thanks for that. So basically, most of the technology advancement that we've had has come via war research. And I can't necessarily disagree with him. What would you say?
Well, look, I mean, we don't know what kind of progress would have been made if that hadn't been the case, even given his premise, which I would dispute. And, of course, war and disease are two different things. Maybe we'd have a cure for cancer. Maybe we would have a better internet. I mean, see, government planners think that they know everything and that they can plan things and things will always work out. But, in fact, we don't know that alternative paradigms might not have been, and much more productive.
All right. Justin Raimondo.
Might have occurred.
All right. We're out of time for the hour here. I appreciate you taking a few minutes, Justin. Hope to have you back here. And antiwar.com, he has a piece up there now. We'll never limit government unless we ditch foreign intervention. Thanks for being on the show this morning. Always a pleasure.